I'd like to thank Aaron K for sponsoring this week's Torah content. June is less than a month away, which means that I'll soon be transitioning into summer writing mode, with more Substack articles and fewer recorded shiurim. The bulk of these articles will remain free. However, if you would like to support my Torah and access additional spicy written content, consider becoming a paid subscriber by going to rabbischneeweis.substack.com.
It's a mini here. Okay, so today we're doing something I've wanted to do for a while, which is show you how to use the good Rambam. Okay, so this is the Shelat Rambam Meduyak, which is the best Rambam. Okay, and I hope to convince you why. But the main thing is, we could go infinitely into this topic, but I just want to show you, which we're not going to do. But I just want to show you, practically speaking, how to use it. This is the one that's on all Torah. And just a quick intro. So Rav Shelat, this is embarrassing for me, is still alive. For some reason, I thought that he was earlier than he was. Okay, I thought that like he died in the 2000s, but he's still alive. He is, according to Wikipedia, an Israeli Orthodox rabbi and scholar of Jewish thought, specializing in the writings of Maimonides and Rabbi Avraham Isaac Cook. He co-founded and serves as a senior faculty member at Yeshivat Birkat Moshe, which is also the yeshiva that publishes the Good Rabag, okay, and a bunch of other good things. If you have anything to add, feel free to add.
I was gonna have the screen went off.
It's been doing that. Also, this yeshiva is associated with Rabbi Nachum Rabinovich, who is our hero of the year, who is the author of the Yad Peshuta. Okay, so this is a very chashuv cohort here. Okay, so Rav Shelat, I think, has been working on this Rambam for a very long time, and it was recently completed. And then he made it available graciously to all Torah. So the main thing you need to know, again, we're going to focus on the practical because we could go infinitely in terms of the whole history. The main thing you need to know is how to use the Shelat, okay? And the key, so what I started on this ambitious project over the summer, which I only did for one day, which is to translate the entire Shelat introduction into English.
Oh, wow.
I told Rabbi Novetsky, like, oh, I'll do that. And I'll just do it whenever I have a plane ride. I'll just do it on the plane, not taking into account that, like, I'd be very tired coming back on the planes for stuff. So I started to translate it, and I would like to finish it. I got through a bunch of it, but not all of it. So the main thing is like this, is if you look at the Shelat anywhere in the Rambam, and you look at the footnotes, you'll see these little olives and bets and dalets and gimels, okay, and things like that. So here, I'm going to start with the most practical thing, okay, which is aleph, bet, tuf, and gimel are the most accurate manuscripts, okay? Aleph stands for number one, but it also stands for Oxford, okay? The most accurate edition of the Rambam is, let me just go here, is if you look in the Hakdama to the Hakdama of the Rambam, this is Shelat's Hakdama to the Rambam's Hakdama, he tells you that Aleph stands for Ksav Yad Oxford 577 Huntington 80. That's the name of the manuscript. I want to print up hoodies that say, they have a picture of the Rambam with the sunglasses, and then on the back it says, real men use the Oxford 577 Huntington 80. And, like, only two people will get it. But, so there is the legendary Rambam, the L'Havdil, Holy Grail of Mishneh Torahs, which is the one that the Rambam himself wrote. We don't have that, and that's the large part that I translated in this whole thing here about what happened to that. It says, let me just read from my translation here really quickly, because this is like the Indiana Jones part of the thing. It says, yeah. So the original, most accurate version of the book, this is my translation, written by the hand of Rabbeinu, was preserved by his descendants in Egypt for about 200 years, but after that, all traces of it vanished. However, remnants of the drafts of the companion have been found. So things were found in the Cairo Geniza, et cetera, et cetera. So this Oxford manuscript, which is known either as the Oxford or the Sefer HaMuga, which means the critical edition, is known by, it says here, Ksav Yad HaMashuach B'Yosar HaMatsuyim B'Yedinu. This is the most accurate or the best edition of the Mishneh Torah we have. Noselav es Ishuro Shel Rambam, it bears the signature of the Rambam Zal, the Etzem Ksav Yado Yad Kacho in his holy handwriting. Okay, that says Huga Misifri Ani Moshe Brevi Maimon Zatzal. Okay, I don't think he wrote Zatzal.
Maybe he's saying Zatzal from Maimon.
Oh yes, correct. Yeah, right. That makes a lot more sense. Brevi Maimon Zatzal. Yeah, right. So basically the Rambam checked over this edition, which was copied from his own personal version, and he signed off on it. Okay, v'hu kolo es sifre hamada ve'ahava b'krach echad. It has sifre hamada and ahava in one volume. Uvasovo k'sava sofer baruch hanosin le'ayav koach v'kasav yethes bar shlomo halevi haparnas. I forgot what Nun Ayin stands for. That's one of the ones that went out of use. Nishmaso Aiden. Okay, so his soul is in Aiden. Okay, if you want to know what Aiden is, ask Chaim. Okay. So the unfortunate thing / fortunate thing about this, the unfortunate thing is we only have Hamada and Ava. The fortunate thing is we have Hamada and Ava, which if you're going to preserve any two things in the Rambam, that's probably the one they want to preserve. We also have the Seder Tefillah, I believe, which is at the end of Ahava, which is not technically part of Sefer Ahava, but it's usually included there. So he says, "Aksavia nechtav b'mitzrayim b'chayi haramim mitoch achas ha'atakos shayu mitzuyos sham." So this manuscript was written in Egypt during the lifetime of the Rambam, out of one of the copies that was found there. V'acharkach huga al yad magia al pi ksav yado hamakori shal Rambam, and then it was corrected using the Rambam's original legendary holy hand manuscript. Amnam af ksav yad mishubakze eno nakim legamrei mishkios. But even this best edition is not free from errors, okay, because it's human beings wrote it. Kfishis bar lemayan b'har oseno. He explains that in his intro. This is what they chose as the foundation for the version of the Shelat for Ava, Hamada and Ava. Okay, fine. So that is Oxford. Okay, the Ksav Yad, the real man's Rambam. Okay. And we're not going to go through the detailed stuff for the rest of them, but Bet is second order manuscripts. So these were ones that were either potentially made from other copies that were signed off by the Rambam. Sorry, they were made from copies that the Rambam signed off on or copied from the Sefer HaMuga, and there are differences there. So that's like the second best. The tough is the Taimani ones, okay? So with the Taimaniim, if I have time, I'll tell you what the deal is with that, but I'll just summarize it verbally. So basically, the Yemenites, obviously, of all the communities in Jewry, they were the most focused on the Rambam as an authority and on making sure that there was a constant updating of the manuscripts. But the problem is, so they ordered three copies of the Mishnah Torah from the Rambam during the Rambam's lifetime. But the scribes who copied them were, we don't know who the scribes were. And the three copies that made it to Yemen have discrepancies between them. Okay, as opposed to the Oxford was written by Shlomo Bar Yefes, who was a notable Tamid Chachamim, and so we know he wasn't just some Joe Shmo. So even though there are errors, here we know that all three Taimanim things can't be correct because they have differences, and we don't know who wrote them. Okay, so that's that. And then Gimel is from the Cairo Geniza. Okay, and again, in some cases, this means it's more accurate. In some cases, it's less because, for example, we have like drafts of the Rambam's Mishnah Torah editions in his own handwriting. So like the fact that it's in his own handwriting is very like important, but if it was just a draft then, and there's a contradiction between the draft and like the another, you know, final version, then like that leads to questions. Okay. So when you're looking in the footnotes, these are the four that are like the most reliable. Okay. Then you have, when you have the numbers next to them, if you see bet and then 1 through 2, it means it's in one of the Mizrahi manuscripts and the second one. And then 1 through 3, or like Taimanim 1 through 3 is all three Taimanim manuscripts. Okay, fine. Then you have the published editions. So the D is what we call the Dufus edition, right? The Dufus Warsaw Vilna, which is the bad version. That's what we call the bad version. And then Hay is Frankel. Shabtai Frankel, which is one of the, so in my day in yeshiva, the two editions that we used the most were the Frankel and the Kafich, because both of those publishers cared about accurate manuscripts of the Rambam, but there are various faults in them as well. For example, Kafich will favor the Taimani manuscripts over the Oxford in certain cases, which I don't know why he does that. Or he'll favor Yemenite Minhag over the Oxfords. And then Frankel, I forgot what the deal is with Frankel. I mean, one of the problems with Frankel, but one of the user difficulties with Frankel is I believe that in the, he brings all the new scholars on the side, which is good, but in the text itself, it sometimes has the non-ideal Rambams. Okay, so that's, so when you are looking in the actual text of the Mishneh Torah, and you're using it, so the main use that you can use it for is comparing the halakhos here. So I chose my favorite example of the diagnostic test for, I'm sure I've said this before, but I'll say it again. If you are looking at a Rambam and you don't know whether it's the good version or not, go to Hilchos Chametz Matzah Vav Yud Beis, right? This is the diagnostic test. So the accurate version says, Asru Chachamim Le'echol Matzah Be'er Pesach. So the Chachamim prohibited you to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. Kadesh Yihyeh Heker La'achilas Balayla. So that you can have a distinguishing, a differentiation for the eating at night. What?
Okay. The question is, it says Erev over there. Is that the test?
No. Umishah HaMatzah Be'er Pesach. Someone who eats matzah on Erev Pesach. Makin Oso Makas Mardis. Then you give him Makas Mardis, right? Whiplash is for violating a Durban. So that's the real version. But if you look down in the footnote here, so it says, now this is interesting, Begilion Bet Aleph, so in the margin of one of the Mizrahi manuscripts, Nosaf B'Ksav Acher, it's written in a different handwriting, Ad Shetete Nafsho, you hit him until his soul departs, V'Kach Defus, and that's what it says in the Defus, in the standard editions of the Rambam, is you hit him until his soul departs.
Isn't that, what's it called if the Makas Mardis anyway? Makas Mardis is always...
It's not literal though.
Yeah, so that's the problem, right? You don't be until he dies,
it's
right?
Never literal, but that
right.
I know.
I'm a Chomer for that.
Well,
yeah, right. Yeah.
We don't have a death penalty of Marcus. It's for that. Penalty.
Right.
No, I know.
Yeah.
But I was under the impression that Marcus was always but what's considered Atitz and Afshin.
Okay, so we can look into that. I'm not current in the subject yet. I'll give you another. This one when I've asked. Other people about this. So this
credit, it says actually,
oh, so then you know that it's a doofus one. Yeah. Okay. Here's another test. And this one, I got to credit Abigail Lev for, because she pointed this out to me. So in the actual Rambam, it says in Brachos Hevav, Hakol Chayavim B'Birkas HaZimun, K'derech Shechayavim B'Birkas HaMazon. Right. So everyone is obligated in Birkas HaZimun, just like they're obligated in Birkas HaMazon. Afil Kohanim She'achlu Kotche Kotchim B'Azara. Chayin Kohanim V'Yisraeli, the Israeli, that's interesting. She'achlu ke'achad. So if Kohanim and Israelite eat together, v'achlu Kohanim truma v'Yisrael chulin chayavim b'zimun. Then he says, nashim v'avanim uktanim chayavim b'zimun kechiyuvan v'birkas hamazon. So women and servants and ketanim are obligated in birkas hazimun, just like they're chiyuvan birkas hamazon. But in the defus, it just takes out the whole thing of women having a zimun. Okay, it says Hishmit Halacha Chashuva. It's omitting. So it says Bedalid Lesa Minashim. So in the diffuse editions, it is lacking from this last sentence and on. Hishmit Halacha Chashuva. This is omitting a very important halacha. She'ena Nishmas Me'ahemshach, which is not, supported or inferred from the from what follows. Yeah.
Is that saying that the women and the slaves and the children are chayav and zimun in the way they're chayav and birkas hamazon,
or
that
they're so
the way that the men are chayav, not the way?
So I think he's saying. Let me talk out the way I'm reading it. You tell me if I'm misunderstanding what you're saying.
Yeah, right.
Is that with the women's chayav and birkas hamazon, it's we don't know whether it's derais or derabanan,
right?
So you treat it as a suffix, whether it's a derais or derabanan. I think so. Yeah. No. Right. Yeah. But
therefore, it wouldn't be on the same level as a man.
It would not be on the same level as a man. Yeah, right. Right. But I think the important thing, the reason why women care about this, is the whole concept of like a mezumenet.
Yeah.
Right. Is the Rambam is acknowledging that. What was that?
In the halacha anyway.
In the next. Oh, nashim vadim muktan im zani alehim aval mizani hin lazman. Oh, maybe not. Hold on.
Yeah, maybe they do it for themselves.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Dalad meil aval nashim mizani.
No, I mean this whole thing. There's the Gemara. They don't want to bring on the Gemara pizza stuff.
Right. Hold on just a second here. I just want to look at the, make sure I'm reading this correctly. In the diffuse. Some zoomers could get really wild. Yeah.
The worst is the Russian vodka with Katarin is that, like, well, Russian vodka is pretty obvious. But that vodka with Katarin is the whole thing with the Mishka Zahar and all that.
No, I'm just confused on how the Mishka are. Like, isn't, if it's a normal thing, why did it increase this?
Ella, I'm all Russian women. I'm not sure what you're saying here. Yeah, you're right. It does say that there. Yeah. Okay, that's the end of our time. But that's just the basic way to how to learn it. But if you are interested, though, in this in that Hagdama, he basically goes through the history of every like version of the Rambam and what happened to it. For example, basically in the when the Rambam's family left Egypt, there was the handwritten version of the Mishnah Torah and then the handwritten version of the Pirush Mishnayos. So part of the family got the Pirush Mishnayos and part of the family got the original Rambam, and the original Rambam was lost and the Pirush Mishnayos survived for a much longer time. And that's also what they have on all Torah as well, parts of that. But it's very interesting, but not from a learning perspective, just more from a history, archaeological perspective. But yeah, the main thing, and if you ever need the reminder about what the code is, the place where you find this, I'll show you how to get there. So if you're going from all Torah, the way to get the code is Mishnah Torah, and then you go to the slowly Hakdama and then Mavo preface, and you just and you go to you scroll all no sorry you scroll all the way down, you click Khan, which is taking you to the Shelat, and then this is Shelat's introduction, and then you scroll all the way down to the very bottom and he has the key. Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, so good. We did it in one shot. I was hoping we wouldn't go on beyond that. Okay, so let's talk about what we want to do between now and the break.
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeWeiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweiss Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweiss, and my Zelle/ChaseQuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at RabbiSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading, and thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.